Hello, it's Ryan.
Hey, it's Wayne.
And this is Kill the Rabbit Podcast. So at this point, I think we've basically discussed that this is a diary for ourselves into the future to memorialize us long after we're dead. So,
oh, Lord.
And it's more of like a diary-type thing. I actually found one of my diaries, or not diary, as a guy, as a journal. So I found one of my journals from like 2006. And it was like, why can't I get my life together? Just, it's the common theme with all my journals. It's like every other entry is like, I can't believe this. What's going on?
You know what you should do? As each year starts off, go back and read last year's journal and swear to yourself that this will not be a repeat of last year.
Yeah.
Because so many times the same things you're starting off this year, you embarked on last year and you didn't make any more progress than you'll make this year unless you do something different.
Yeah. That's the common thing. Well, and also to like give yourself slack that there's things that you're not going to get to and you shouldn't kill yourself. Like when I was younger, right? I want to be a millionaire by the time I'm 25 and blah, blah, blah. And most of the times that doesn't work. It does at times. But like set appropriate goals so that you're not left always feeling unaccomplished. So like for my life recently, I've gone through this like a pruning stage. I think everyone goes through this. I think this happened to me way later than it does for most. I think for most people, they hit their 30s, they start having kids. This is probably where that pruning comes from, because when you have kids, you have to automatically select where you're going to place your time and
be responsible.
You can't just like go to the bar all the time because you have kids and you can't associate with
riffraff.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't have kids yet, but I felt most recently that I had kind of lost like myself. I mean, I was still going through the motions of doing good at work, trying to be successful. And it's a very general viewpoint of, you know, try to do better. But it wasn't anything that was like feeding like my soul or like what drove me. And, you know, I was thinking about, I used to read all the time. I used to do all these projects on my own because I had a passion for it. And it's not that I didn't have a passion for it anymore. It's just that it was split too many ways, right? Too many rabbit trails. You know, where you spend your time is what is important to you. And I felt, or I had to do a, you know, introspection and determine, man, I don't really spend much time on myself or on things that I even like.
Why is that?
So I would be in environments that I would put myself in where I would, so let's rewind. I was homeschooled through high school. Well, I taught myself through high school. I went to college and had minimal social interaction. In high school, it was me by myself. So I kind of studied people from afar, girls from afar, and kind of took social cues as, this is what you do to get someone to like you. Like, talk about them, or compliment them, or put yourself in vicinity of those types of people that kind of not need it, but they really like it when you talk about them or compliment them. That's most people, but you see what I'm saying. So I would get next to the football players because they were next to the pretty girls, because once I hit puberty, that was goal number one, was girls and how to do whatever it is you do to get girls or talk to girls or be in the vicinity or get them to look at you. Just figure that whole situation out. So I learned a lot of social things on my own that I would do, but it wasn't something that was natural. It was a learned behavior from observation.
Mm-hmm.
It was not learned in the normal social context.
So you weren't going to settle for a virtual girlfriend. You wanted a real one.
No, if only. Now that there is virtual reality, that would have been, I probably would have never done social stuff at all. But to me, like, you remember when I was a kid, I would like complain about like well, why should you be with girls? They just waste time. And that was before puberty, and you're like, well, you don't understand yet, but a driving impetus will happen for you, and you'll change your mind.
Yes.
So, in learning all that social stuff, right, I learned how to be likable to anybody. So I made friends with everybody. Like, to this day, it's probably impossible for me to find someone that I can't be friends with, just because I go off all the social cues of, you know, if they're looking this way, they're slightly insecure, so you may want to like give them those compliments. If they're looking this way, they're a little bit arrogant, so too many compliments and you'll reduce yourself to second strand citizen for their social circle. So you want to make yourself useful in their relationship, but not so much that it like throws it off balance, if that makes sense. So I would use it on girls, I would use it on guys, I would use it on to acquire friends and things of that nature. So going through life, no, I never like took note to ask myself, am I doing this because I want to? Like later in life when I had been involved more socially and learned the real way to interact. So I feel in my 20s I was a waiter and kind of scourged off, not scourged, I like veered off the beaten path to be popular and people like me and don't talk about nerd stuff that I was interested in. So I started shoving that side of myself down in my mid-20s, and now I'm 35. And so I just had this revelation where I realized, like, I don't even recognize who I am. Like, I don't do things because I'm passionate about them. I do things because other people, it's positive reinforcement from other people. So I.
So you've empowered other people to give the thumbs up or thumbs down on things that you're doing with no regard to, is this something I really enjoy or have a passion about? You
Correct.
have to have that permission from others that this is something that you should do.
Correct. So, in social circles, I wouldn't be forthcoming with what I want or what I want to talk about or what interests me. It was more of a constant adaptation to surroundings to make sure that I'm liked. So, in this revelation period, I, in full fashion of how I am in my personality, is I'm very cut to the quick when it comes to myself, right? I don't like tell myself, oh, well, maybe you'll try to look and do some things that you want to do, or try to interject this and what they want, or tell your friends what you want to do from now on. So I just kind of took note of like relationships and things that I had surrounded myself with, and what are real relationships that have genuine concern about each other, and just cut them out. It cut down so much waste on, you know, I used to get online and chat with my friends or chat with people all day, chat, 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 chat. And you realize, like, you're wasting so much time. TV. I used to just watch TV when I have downtime. Well, you have downtime a lot. So now, my rule is I don't watch TV until I'm done with all my things, all my chores, or my to-do list that I have during the day. Then I started taking on other things because at first it was just work on your business, right? Just in general terms, right? Like you tried, like you're not really getting serious with yourself. So I cut everything out. I cut out chat and people that no longer serve the purpose of, or my confusion of like what is friendship, right? My confusion with people that I would surround myself with that I felt is a genuine connection. And it isn't. It's genuine because you're playing both sides of the relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I'm making the introduction and then I'm interpreting whatever you say in a positive manner, or I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Well, no, I think what you're doing though is in the past you haven't made a distinction in relationships. You were open to all of them to give whatever time any of them demanded
Yes.
rather than making a distinction and saying these are my close friends, these are okay friends, these are acquaintances, and making kind of a value judgment based on the amount of time you have and knowing that you can't be all things to everybody, and
yes,
nor should you.
Well, and I noticed it when I would have people say, well, you're my best friend. And I'm like, I don't really know. I don't think you even know me. But see, that doesn't matter. So when I had this revelation, I said, I want to pursue relationships that are genuine, that I really like. And I have those friends. So I cut everything else out because it's a waste of time. Life is short. You'll be dead before you know it. And you're just wasting time on relationships or things or stuff that doesn't really progress you, right? Like, I don't want to talk about engineering with this person because they don't understand. Well, then if you want to talk about engineering and that's a big deal for you, then find people that you can talk with about right. engineering. So, long story short, I cut everything out. I started taking on stuff. Like, instead of doing your business, let's get real about it. So you need front end, back end. So I started both of those. Then you need two apps. So I started doing that app development. Then I started taking classes on MIT. So now I'm doing machine learning, computer science. I'm also taking a finance class on what's in their MBA program. Just because, like, you've starved yourself of information for so long that when you finally got back to what it is that makes you tick, it all of these things happen, like floodgates. Like, I bought a piano. I practice every day. I bought the Rachmaninoff Concerto No. 3, which is the hardest piece in the world. But why not? Right? I never would have done that in the past. I would have said, this is the hardest piano piece in the entire world. And mind you, I bought the piece that wraps in the entire symphony so that it's all piano. So all the symphony pieces have been transposed for the piano piece. So you're playing the entire thing. So in the it's like pure black with the notes. So, but that's exciting. Like, now I hear music and I'll buy the sheet music. I bought like 9 songs. Right now I'm playing maybe 7 or 8 simultaneously, because my biggest issue with music is I would always memorize everything as I'm playing it. So now I just switch it every day. So it's so much switching that I can't memorize it. So in doing the MIT classes and doing the app development and learning a new JavaScript framework, like, that's brand new, and trying to concentrate on doing better at work. Or I've been dieting, I've been working out and running, and like having all these things that I have in my immediate control to feel that potential is invigorating. And it's something that I would have always evaluated it in my past as, that's not really a cool thing to talk about. Or you don't want to over encumber someone with your things because it may make them feel bad about themselves. And it's like, now I look at it more like, maybe it will inspire them. Like, to me, it's inspiring. And I realized how much time I wasted on TV and, like, even the TV shows that I used to find really funny. I found myself not liking certain shows as much anymore. And I thought about it the other day, and I think it's mainly attributed to, in our culture now, we glorify, like, emasculated men. Like, haha, he's a nerd, he doesn't understand. And it's like, I feel almost offended by that, because that's where I've been for the last 10 years.
There's, like, a lot of that out there, yeah.
Don't say anything. Don't overflex your muscles if you're bigger than that guy. And the thing that I loved about that Wild at Heart book, that probably is the greatest quote that I read out of it so far, is that guy that said, something, don't, like, make excuses for yourself, but let your weight, let them feel your weight and be okay with them being uncomfortable. And that, to me, was like, that's so freeing, because for so long I've been, oh, more porridge, please. Oh, no. Well,
wait,
maybe they're not going
to
like
me.
You
stop to think about it for just a moment, because what comes to my mind is I watched some football this past weekend, and I'm watching some of these premier players out there doing their thing, and some spectacular plays, some really good players, and obviously at the top of their game. And I think that sometimes coming from the mindset that you previously had, and I kind of had this too, of false humility, maybe, because you don't want to offend somebody, you know. But on the other hand, like, for instance, your piano playing, I use the football analogy. Let me go to the piano playing, because the thing that comes to my mind is, you know, when you ask somebody, do you play the piano? And they say, well, I kind of dabble at it. And then they burn up the keys playing all over the place. And then you say, wait a minute, you just dabble at it?
Yeah.
Come on. You're really good.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's okay to say that I've achieved a certain level of excellence in it. This doesn't mean that you're bragging about it, just like the football players doing their best out on the field rather than saying, well, I don't want to show up everybody by throwing this long bomb, which may win the game for us. Heck no, we're out here to compete, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's where, like, the Wild at Heart book talks about there's something inside of a man that he needs a challenge. Mm-hmm. He needs to be feared in the sense that he's an accomplished person in the areas that he's passionate about. And so people look at it and they stand back and say, wow, that's really good. You know, you really are passionate about that, or you really believe in that, or wow. And that's okay.
Or you hold yourself back. I mean, the RAC 3 has always been, and that's just I think it's a good example of something that you've predetermined is unattainable.
Yeah.
Right? Just like making this amount of money or doing that. Like, you set those limits on yourself because you're trying to save yourself from the grief of not attaining it. But in what you're doing is you're putting up your own boundaries, and, like, by boxing in friendship or boxing in what I need to do during the day is watch TV, because I'm relaxing, or I have a job that where I can kind of watch TV. And it's like, okay, that's the exact reason why you shouldn't.
Right.
And so, like, I was playing for my wife last night, right? She's crying. She's like, for me, it's more of like, how do you have talent and you bury it in the dirt? Right? Not everybody is given that talent. But you just piss it away because I don't want people to judge me. I don't want people to feel like I'm, you know, I like music. You do like music.
Yep.
What's wrong with you?
She really liked what you played, huh?
Yes. Oh, I'll play you afterwards. I'll play some. And I love it. I enjoy it. It's finally a relaxation of a fully over-engineering, analytical mind that runs all day and inclusive of all my classes and my business stuff that I really love. But there's something about that creative side. Whereas before, we always think as men, you're either creative or you're analytical. You're not both. And that's not true.
And you look at the field that you've chosen with, you run into so many, you know, guys that are really into themselves. They're arrogant. They're not good communicators. They're not sociable. They're prima donnas. There's a lot of that out there. Not, you know, obviously I'm generalizing too much here, but there's a lot of that out there. Mm-hmm. Okay. And a lot of them want to be praised for what they do and so forth. So when you interact with those people, the side of you that wants to be the team player, to play down yourself in order for the team to win rather than you to rise to the top, it kind of goes against the grain for a lot of those people.
Yes.
Now, I would say there's your personality being what it is, there's a good side to that. But it's kind of like there's a light and a dark side to our personalities, you know. And so there's obviously a place for being compassionate,
yes,
and empathetic of others and wanting to work for the team and do those kinds of things. At the same time, if it goes to the dark side, it prevents you, like you're saying, from pursuing excellence in something, or really pursuing something regardless if anybody thinks anything about it at all. It's just something you have a passion for. So you've subdued that for the sake of other people. Most of the time, it wasn't so much that they didn't want you to pursue it. A lot of those people had no idea you liked to play the piano. It was just they were dominating your time.
A lot of people that I've told have no idea.
Yeah.
And for me, in my previous life, or like I would venture to say that I've been in an abusive relationship with myself for 10 years,
That's
right?
good.
And the signs of an abusive relationship is constantly apologizing for things that happen. I fell down the stairs, or this is your choice, right?
Right.
You didn't have them sent to jail when the police came over for a domestic disturbance, time and time and time again. It's your fault. It's nobody else's fault. No one's making you do these stupid things, but yet you continue to do it because I don't know if people are gonna like me, or I don't really, or for me it was always, I'm really good at this, so I just kind of like coast through. And it's like with my job at times, it's like, well, this part is easy for me to just coast through. So now it's more of a challenge of like, okay, if you're there, what's the next level?
Right.
What's the next thing? Like with the piano stuff, if you're gonna do the piano stuff, do it. And it's not, and I even noticed that before, like before in piano, I would just run drills, run drills, run drills, and play the one song that I like playing. Now it's like, okay, find 9 or 10 songs that you like playing and swap those. Just play some of this, play some of this, play some of this. Keep it fresh so you don't memorize it. Sorry, I hit my microphone. And just keep it going like that, because it's your learning style,
That's
it's your
right.
thing. So I feel in being in that relationship for so long, it's kind of it's a really eye-opening experience to, for example, before people would ask me to play, and I would be shy and I don't want to do it, and it's nested in selfishness because I don't want them to feel bad about themselves if they can't do this. Well, are you stupid? Not everybody can do what you do, but it doesn't mean that you can't share that with other people. So now it's more of a, I don't get that embarrassment because it's not like a something that I look at that's bad, and that's where it kind of stems from, not from selfishness as much as from, yeah, but this isn't cool. No one really does this. If I played electric guitar, that would be cooler. Like, you like singing, you like piano, you like engineering, you like all the little things that you do, just do them. Like,
Right.
and now you're in the age of the internet, which is weird. Like, I've been researching on the internet about how to do different things, and this is hilarious. This is like full circle, right? What I'm finding is, if you want to learn something, right? Let's say you want to learn this new, I'm learning Vue.js, which is a new progressive JavaScript framework for the front end of Cosmologic. Buy a book. That's it. Don't Google. The Google, you have so much, you're inundated with information that you don't know what's best practice, what may, just buy a book. Someone has concisely set it up. Follow those instructions. Read all of this stuff. The end. And to me, it felt so dumb because that's what I did when I was a kid. I would go to the library and rent and read all the books. It's
Right.
concise, succinct, relevant information about what you're trying to do.
Save the internet or YouTube for those singular things you do, like replacing a headlight on your car or fixing a stopped-up drain or just what does this word mean or whatever. But as far as like you're saying, something as complicated as a programming language, yeah, somebody has put a lot of thought in putting together a concise package. And they're a better writer than others,
Yes.
and so you find the right ones that really communicate well, and you
But
can.
it'll it, like even the thing I thought about that with writing stuff, like reading books about writing. Like I because I'm from the school of hard knocks as far as my engineering stuff goes. Like I always just got it working from Googling around and trying to figure out how to do stuff. Well, the time has come that you have the resources to buy the books, you have the time, and you're wasting time actually in Googling. Like I've gone through, for one instance, I went through like three tutorials and figured out that I didn't really need any of those. It wasn't really helpful to what I wanted to do. So the lesson too for me was like, you're learning a new JavaScript framework, learn it, right? Don't, how do I build my site like this? Google, like, throw it in there. It takes time to learn an entirely new discipline. So give yourself that time
That's right.
and you'll accelerate. And so for me, it's been an eye-opening experience. Not a lot of people understand it, especially people from my old life. They don't get it, but they never got you in the first place. And like I said, life is short. Do what you want to do and do things that make you happy and don't be apologetic about it.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you make someone feel bad, like I said, in the book it said, let them be okay with them feeling uncomfortable with the weight of who you are, and don't apologize for it.
Right. That's a good way to think of yourself.
So we'll see where it goes, if at all. The hardest part for me has been work. Like, I don't feel like inspired about what I do as much. I mean, it's more of like you got hired to come in and fix something that's already there. It's not like you're creating new stuff. So it's just so much politics, and like I'll like throw code up, and then so, like this is a classic example. I asked a question, and the engineer was like, "Well, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this." And I'm like, "Did you hear what I said? Is it this or this?" "Well, we need to discuss it. We're discussing it right now. A or B?" "Well, it's just that we need." I'm like, "Oh my gosh! Like I can't. Like I feel like I'm." And tell me if you feel this. I feel like I'm getting done with work, society, like all the pissing contest and all the kowtowing I have to do to management and all the judgment from management who don't know me from Adam, all this stifling of creativity.
Plus, what you probably just described in this guy's response was a certain amount of masking the fact that he didn't really know how to respond to you. And maybe he doesn't know what the answer is, but he's going to sound like he knows, and
Are you going to say all this other stuff? And it's like, I get that, right? We'll talk about those things that maybe need to be addressed. But I asked you a question. Like, why is it so hard for you to answer my question?
Right.
And I just feel like with my last boss that left, he left me a bad review. In my opinion, it was a bad review. And to me, it was just like, dude, you're already leaving. Like, what do you care? I've just been really uninspired with management. For me, it's just kind of a job.
Well, and the good thing for you though, as you look at it, it's paying you a decent amount of money, allotting you time to do some of these other things that you're doing, and it's only for a season that you're going to be doing this because something else will come along. And in the meantime, you're not stagnating.
And consciously making an effort to be a good employee, because I've noticed that I'm not a good employee because I'm an entrepreneur. They're horrible employees. Like, I want to start a company. Be like, can you please do your job,
Yeah.
please? So
Just do what I told you.
I'm never going to be in a position that's inspiring, working for someone else. And that, but you have to, put your best effort at things and not get fired. So that's been the struggle for me, is like getting a bad review of like, you're not involved as much with this as you should be. And then I've asked in the past to get involved with that, and they're like, no, that's not possible. So then it's like, you're criticizing me for something that I asked to do, but that you told me that I can't do. So it's just those types of things in business that are just very hard for me to deal with.
Well, you've gone through a lot of jobs in the last 5 or 6 years or 7 or 8. I've lost track now. But do you find yourself looking at it and saying, maybe being a little bit inspired to look down the road a little bit and ask yourself, where is this going? And I don't mean that specific job itself, but your career. Because I mean, you're learning different things, you're building on different knowledge bases, and you're thinking about this thing that you're doing on the side with Cosmologic. I think what always inspires us is when we have goals, because we got something we're shooting towards, and that's kind of where I'm going with this, to ask, do you see anything starting to show up on the horizon of what's next or what's coming down the road? Because obviously this isn't the end all where you're at right now, you
I
know?
mean, I guess I feel bad saying it, but I don't feel that my goal is to get a promotion. Like, if I never get a promotion, in all honesty, I don't care. If anything, I wouldn't like it because it would be a change up on what I do day to day. And I feel like everyone around me is like wanting to get promoted. But for me, I'm just like, I just don't care. Like, I just want to do my job and the part of it that I like and exit. And that seems like,
Well, promoted to what? I mean, if you saw
yeah.
something beyond that was a different, a higher level, and it looked really lucrative, that would be different. But promoted to what at this
Yeah.
point? You know, I
I
don't
mean,
think,
my promotion would go to management or architect.
which would be a lot of, which for
Bureau
management would be more
bureaucracy,
politics and
yeah.
bureaucracy and.
Which I just don't do well with as it is. I mean, I show a good face, but how I really feel about it is, this is a waste of my time.
Right.
So that's why it's hard for me with jobs, because I just don't see myself there permanently. Whereas other people, I mean, there are people, and most people are not entrepreneurs, and they want to get their promotion, they want to retire, and for me, like, that's just kill me now. I do not want that. So for me, it's like, don't get fired, do good enough so that do good enough and exit and do it for you, right?
Do you
Try
know
to get
what?
better at what you do for you.
I'm going to take a leap here and suggest that now that you find yourself pursuing more of the things that you're really passionate about, piano, whatever it is, and totally unrelated to what your current working life is right now, the more you pursue the things that you have a passion about, I think you're going to begin to see some things unfold.
I agree with you. I feel that my work time has been more concentrated in do your thing, then you're done. Whereas before, in my old abusive relationship life, it was, I mean, it's 6:30, whatever. There's always tomorrow. Or work late at night because you want them to think that you're working, but you're really not. Like, so now it's much more purposeful. So I totally agree with that statement.
Yeah, so you get more done as a job in your current position, but you're also opening up avenues for down the road that you may not even be thinking about now. You know, that newfound freedom, I like it. And the next thing you know, you're expressing freedom in other areas of your life. And I think eventually it may open up an avenue that you would have never dreamed of.
Yes, and at least that you're, it's like being in, you're in a marriage, right? And you want to talk about guy stuff, but you can't tell your wife, not because it's inappropriate, just because it's like stuff that girls don't care about. You can't expect your wife to fulfill every part of that relationship of
Right.
your social needs. Like, you have to look outside and look at social circles and other guys and other stuff and other things that you may be interested in.
And
And
as
I
a
feel like I've been stifled so much with my job
yeah.
that I've been looking to that as my inspiration for
And
programming.
as a guy, I'm going to go back to something else you said. You were talking about the feminization of the masculine, portion of our culture, which I think is happening too. I think one of the things that he says in his, John Elder says in Wild at Heart, he talks about, I think it was one of his sons was talking about, getting his driver's license and driving a car. And the kid was talking, and the dad asked, "Well, what kind of car are you thinking about?" "Thinking about a tank, you know?" And of course, the mother's horrified. But the dad's playing along with it. He says, "Yeah, and you could put a big 50 caliber gun on top of it and shoot people to get them, because he's kidding around with them." But that's one of those things that he's trying to do, is he's trying to spur that I don't know, that masculine side, that just kind of not crazy, not careless, not foolish. I mean, we but not safe to the point where you're afraid to do anything. Like, for instance, for me, and your mother would never go along with this, but honestly, before I die, if I had a, I'm thinking of something that I would put on my bucket list, and it would be to learn how to ride a motorcycle and take a trip on one. Now that sounds crazy, but you know what? You know how long I've wanted to do that? I used to dream about it since I was a teenager.
Like a cruiser?
I don't know, but
Like
I
a
always
Harley, like a
wanted to
big
get
one?
one. Now, my dad, your grandfather, had a group of guys. I don't know if it was a gang or not, but they used to drive their Harleys, and of course he gave that up and forbid me ever to to ride on a motorcycle. I never knew why, because I didn't know at the time that he used to ride a motorcycle, but I always wanted to. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so your mom would say, well, that's not really safe. That's not really smart. Like, you know, getting up on the roof to adjust the antenna or something.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I'm thinking, but you know what? You can play life so safe that by the end of your days, you never really did anything that excited you.
Yeah.
That really, because this isn't just any old dream. You know, we're not talking about just any old thing that happens to be risky. There are some dreams that you have personally that you would really like to fulfill. And it would require planning and maybe some kind of preparations. And it may be risky. So you try to eliminate some of the things that could go wrong and things like that. Where, like I say, we're not talking about being foolhardy. At the same time, there's something in the heart of, I would say, men, that you need an adventure. Women would say they need an adventure too, but I think there's maybe some differences there a little bit.
Are there like, there has to be like motorcycle lessons, like
that? Well, you can go, but I don't have a motorcycle, so that would be a starting in one.
Well, yeah, but at least you could take the lessons where you could train on one, because it is more complicated than a car for sure.
Yeah, it is. And I still remember a guy I used to know in the Air Force who had never ridden one in his entire life. He bought one, had never ridden one. He took some lessons from somebody, and the next thing you know, he's taking a trip across the United States.
What? Was it like a big one?
I don't even remember now. But I was kind of amazed at that. Thought he was a little bit crazy. But the thing of it is, what's kept me from buying a motorcycle? I've had chances to buy motorcycles in the past,
mm-hmm.
especially before I was married. And I could have done that. But something kept me back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, of course, just using that as an example. But I think when we're talking about expressing freedom from what comes deep inside of us, something that you're passionate about, especially something that you've kind of held at bay because for some reason or other you just didn't let that wilder side out of you.
Mm-hmm.
It feels really good when you finally do. And quite frankly, some of the best stories of your life will be those times when you took those risks, and calculated ones, not, like I say, foolhardy, but just really sought to do something like that. So whether it was for me, whether it was you know, learning how to ride a motorcycle and eventually, you know, doing it, or, well, like, you know, your mom's cousin who went and climbed one of the peaks in Colorado.
Mm.
He's 69 years old, but he prepped for it. He had a trainer, personal trainer. He went to Colorado. He's a native Houstonian, but he went to Colorado and he spent 2 weeks just acclimating himself to the atmosphere before he did the climb. It still took a lot out of him to do it, but at least he did it,
mm-hmm.
and he did it in a way that made sense. And I thought, wow, that's commendable.
That's interesting that you say that, because in the new me, it's removing the concentration from just all this noise, right, about why you don't do something, or what is this person going to think, or what, and solely focused on doing things that fulfill yourself. So, I mean, we could look for, I'm sure there's lessons, and like cruisers and crotch rockets are the little ones that you lean over in. Those probably aren't as comfortable. Those are the more dangerous ones, I think. But then the cruisers are more for the highway travel stuff, and they're heavier. But I mean, I'm sure that there's lessons that we could. I mean, I could try. I haven't. It's got to be like riding a bike, kind of. It's just that it's a 400-pound bike. So that would be cool. I mean, I could. I would do. I mean, it would scare me too, but I would do it.
Well, jumping out of a plane.
That's where I draw the line. Like, my wife did that, and that is just. It's those things that, like, I don't thrive on that.
Yeah.
Adrenaline.
But I would put it this way, rather than pinpoint a specific action, It's more about, okay, so where are you in life, and what would be a risk for you at this point in your life that you would find if you accomplished it, it would be extremely pleasurable for you to do that. And everybody's at a different place. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, who knows what drove Evel Knievel to do some of the wild things he did with his jumping over things with cars and stuff like that and motorcycles. He thrived on that kind of thing. I am
Know
nowhere
that.
in the neighborhood of anybody like
We
that.
could take it to the store and or the highway, some of the highway stuff.
But the thing of it is, if your life has gotten dull, a little bit boring, maybe you've played it too safe. Maybe you need to take some risks in areas that you would find great freedom, great pleasure in if you were able to accomplish something. You know, you're finding that now with your piano. You get to know a piece and play it well. There's a great deal of satisfaction in that.
Yeah.
You know,
It's relaxing. And
yeah.
maybe that's how the cruising is too. Have you ever ridden on one?
Yes.
Okay. 'Cause I rode on the back with Dennis and that he did like 40 miles an hour and I thought it felt like 100.
Well, this
But
was
maybe that's 'cause you're on the back. Like maybe in the front it's different.
this would scare you. I rode on the back of one, and the guy was actually inebriated at the time. This is back in my Air Force days, and when we got off the motorcycle, and I asked him, I said, "Wow, how fast were you going?" He says, "I don't really know because the speedometer went over, and we were just looking at the RPMs." He says, "I was probably doing 110." And I
Wow.
said, "I'm lucky to be
What did
alive."
it, what was that like?
It was insane. It
Oh
was
my gosh.
insane. I was grabbing on for dear life, but that's obviously off the
That's when you fell in
charts.
love
That's
with motorcycles.
no.
'Cause they can do it. I mean, they'll put the Corvette like on acceleration. It's insanity.
Here's another one we could challenge ourselves to. Did you ever think about scuba diving? Your
Yes.
uncle Dennis, who gave you the ride on his motorcycle, that was one of the things that he did, and he used to love doing that. Scuba diving would be really cool, especially if you went down and into
In the
places
Keys.
where the clear water, and you could go down and see stuff. That's another thing where you don't go scuba diving unless you've gone through the courses and all
Yeah.
that. But It would be fun. It would be fun to do, and you can actually, right here in Houston, get yourself licensed to do that. And so, I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
The problem is some of these things do cost money. I mean, it costs money to go someplace. It costs money for the equipment. It costs money. And so if you don't have those things, then that's a problem. So you have to be realistic there too.
Well, it's more about like prioritizing like what you spend it on,
Right,
right?
right. So anyway, I just share that all because I hear what you're saying, that you're expressing this freedom and pursuing your passions, and I've been thinking about that a lot too, because some of the things I'm doing right now are putting me to sleep.
I mean, I would do it. I would do scuba. I've done snuba, which was like 18 or 20 feet below, which that was an experience. It's crazy. Like when you're holding your breath, you're so concentrated on breathing that you're not appreciating the surrounding. So like snuba is like an old style, like this super heavy thing they put on top of you. But I mean, we could look at lessons for both. I would do it. I mean, I've never ridden a motorcycle. I can't even drive a stick, but I've tried to drive a stick, just not very well. But we could do it.
It would be interesting. Just like I said, I think that there are some things that they strike a little fear in you, which is good, and the adrenaline starts to rush a bit. But like I said, at the end of the day, if you're able to accomplish it, what'll that be worth to you? Some things wouldn't be worth anything to you. The fear wouldn't be, it's just not justified. But there are other things that if you were able to do them, you would find a great deal of satisfaction in doing them, And
Yeah.
I mean, there's danger. Yeah, but there's danger driving on the freeway every morning. I almost got killed a couple of times on the freeway. So you choose your poison here, whatever you want to do. And I don't get a lot of satisfaction at getting to work on, and not having an accident. I'm grateful for it,
Yeah.
but it's not something that would be
They're
as
like, yes, I did it.
So, anyway.
I mean, that's what I've always wanted to take the Corvette to the track, but been scared to. But it's like you have no idea what the car is capable of doing.
Well, and that's where you might want to come alongside. Do you remember there was a guy that went to Katy Bible for a while that
He used to race.
he used to race, and having somebody like that ride with you and give you some pointers on how to do something like that, because he would know. Because if you've never been at that speed going around on a track, it's responding a whole lot faster than you're able to, and you have to anticipate that. And somebody who knows what they're doing could help you to acclimate yourself to that kind of speed.
But I mean, we could do it. We could do lessons. I mean, motorcycle lessons would be easier right now than scuba because it's so cold. But I'm sure there's places that will do it. Your son-in-law had a motorcycle too, you know
All right.
that? He had a Goldwing.
I did not know that.
I rode on it once. On the back. I've never driven
Interesting.
on one.
I did not know that.
So we'll see how next week goes. I
Okay.
guess the goal is just keep going.
Yes.
Anything for you?
Yeah, I've picked up the writing again, and I'm learning some things by, you were talking about getting a book instead of doing the internet stuff. I'm reading some stuff on writing now that has been really eye-opening,
That's cool.
and that's been really helpful. One thing in particular that came out of it was this particular author was saying, when you're around people, you interpret things because you're right there with them. You're watching them. They're talking to you. You're talking to them, and so forth. And you can pick up different things from body language and about their emotions, what they're thinking, and all that kind of stuff. When you're writing, communicating emotion without saying it. You know what I'm saying? When you say, he was very angry and he walked out of the room, rather than saying, which you should say, he stomped out of the room and slammed the book down. Well, you didn't say he was angry, but by his actions, you know. And then physically describing a person in a way that gives you a sense of their personality. Like I was talking to your mother the other night. I was talking about, what do you think about when you hear somebody saying the person had deep set eyes? To a lot of us, that kind of communicates something, just certain physical descriptions seem to go along with certain personality types. The blonde flipping her hair sounds kind of like an airhead type of female type of thing. May not be at all, but that may communicate that to you about that personality because of something they did physically. And I had never really thought a lot about that because
Or maybe
I
that's like the diversion where the reader assumes they're an airhead, and then it's like full circle
right.
or flip it to where they're not, or something like that too.
And see, I people had said before that, well, when you write really well, there's all kinds of genres in writing. And you may be able to write poetry well, which I could do that, but that's a whole different league than writing fiction writing where you're trying to. I've gained a whole new respect for people who do it well.
Did you ever read The Martian?
No.
So that book was written by a computer scientist. It was a movie with Matt Damon. Did you see the movie?
Yeah.
Ugh. I read the book before I saw the movie. It was one of those things where it's just kind of like, but if you're passionate about it, he's passionate about the science part of it. He was like a novice, like space aficionado person. And you could tell, like he really did the
Wow.
research. For some people, that doesn't matter, but like that type of stuff, you know what I mean? Like, right? Like it's a, like I said about like for myself, discovering the things about myself that I just enjoy doing that I've not let myself do for whatever reason for so long. So it's like if you like the fiction part, you write the fiction that you like.
And the thing of it was, because I didn't really know what I was stepping into when I started to write this thing, the more I got into it, it became more and more intimidating because I was realizing that I really don't know how to write dialogue. I really don't know how to describe a character in a way that makes them come alive. Well, okay. Do you want to learn how to do that? First of all, you have to admit that you don't know, and that's square one. But then you start reading. It's not simply about writing every day, because I could do that. But there were certain things that I needed to learn
Like expecting that
about.
you'll get better, you'll get faster.
Right. So that there was just certain things that I needed to understand about writing dialogue. Oh, Lord. In a way, writing dialogue that's not cumbersome, that is lively, and it really, like I said, I've really grown a profound respect for people who can write well when it comes to fiction writing, especially in a way that captivates you and you really get into it. One of the things that this guy was saying, he said Hemingway used to sit at a cafe, and for hours he would just sit and write, describing people around him. And he would just write and write and write, describing these people in ways that captured them, from the shape of their body, their face, their hair color, the way their mannerisms.
So it's not just writing like I practice piano, you practice that writing.
That would be a practice
That's
there.
very cool.
You
I've
know what I
never
mean?
thought of it like that. I've always thought you just do it. But if you thought about it in the context of music, do you just sit down and play something? Like, no, I mean, there's hours and hours and hours and hours
Well,
that go
and
into
look
that.
at you. If I was to sit down and write something to describe you in a way that somebody were able to walk away and say, "Oh, he's a," they pick up on nuances that depict your character, your personality, rather than just saying he's this tall, he has brown hair, he's big built, he's, okay, that's really nice, but what have you done,
Or describing things that don't really matter. I've
Right.
read some authors that just like it's so much description that you just lose sight of what on earth it is that's happening.
And they'll tell you, you don't necessarily do that right up front, all in a row. You kind of intersperse it along to where your little bits and pieces of that person physically described in ways that kind of you capture their scent, their emotion at the moment, or something about their personality, without saying that he's angry, without saying that he seems to be hesitant and not very courageous. You depict it in a scene so that they pick up on it. They don't even think about it necessarily as they're reading it. They just feel it, and that's the goal. You want them to feel these things without stopping to consciously say, "This is what I've learned about this person."
That's interesting because I haven't thought about like the stuff that I do in the context of like consistency or practicing or doing it. Like for me, it's not as much practice as it is consistently reading and learning and doing your project. But like for you, it's more of like a, the consistency of doing the writing exercises. It's funny that we both discovered books, which is the most obvious thing in the entire universe, but for some reason like we've been so conditioned for instantaneous gratification that you just don't even think about like in a book it's very like confined of like you read chapter one and then chapter two, whereas on the internet you read all the chapters at once.
Well, and going back to your piano playing, when I had bought a book of scales when I was playing piano, I read some things on why is it important to do scales? And they said, actually, it helps you play everything else that you want to play well. There's a certain mind to fingers, the eyes, through the eye gate that goes on. There's physical exercise there with your fingers, but there's also you're like anything that you do over and over and over and over again. I know where that low C is. I know where that middle C is. I don't even have to look at it anymore because I've done it so many times. And the scale books will take you through the different progressions and the different keys and so forth. And you get to the point where if somebody says, I'm going to try that in the key of E flat, and you know exactly what mm-hmm. the flats are in the key of E flat. And so
the scales do make you understand the natural right. progression of it. You do, like when I started doing them again, you don't even know why.
Yeah.
Or why you thought this is sharp.
And see, we're both of the mindset, I really need to know why I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. Just like when I was in school and I was teaching Greek and I asked the teacher the question and he didn't know how to respond to this. And because I said, why do we need to learn Greek? Because this Bible has already been translated into Greek by all kinds of people. Why are we learning it? Mm-hmm. And it was a legitimate question. I wasn't being, belligerent. I really wanted to know, does it need to be translated again? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm already reading what other people have translated. Is there something wrong with it? Are there nuances that I'm not aware of? And he initially didn't know how to answer that because nobody had ever asked him that before. Mm-hmm. But I'm the kind of person that if you want me to do something, I can't do something mindlessly. I need to understand why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
There has to be a reason for it. Maybe that's rebellious in some scenarios, but frankly, that's the way I'm wired. I just need to know why I'm doing this because otherwise I am not motivated to do it,
Well, there's no point to it.
Yeah.
Well.
So anyway.
We did our 20 minutes and some. So I guess next week it's just keep doing myself and next week for you.
Yeah, we'll see where this goes stuff. For me. Yeah.
That's exciting though.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
All right.